You'll be used to watching her perform in period dramas and literary adaptations, but Emma Thompson's latest film is more stripped back than anything ever before, swapping costumes and sets for simple intimacy. Good luck to you, Leo Grand, zooms up close and personal on two actors, Thompson herself and co-star Daryl McCormack. She plays Nancy, a retired teacher and widow looking for adventure and good sex. And he's Leo, a young and gentle sex worker she hires for just that. I caught up with co-stars Emma Thompson, Daryl McCormack and director Sophie Hyde a little earlier. Emma, Sophie and Daryl, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks for having us.
So, Sophie, what inspired you to make this movie?
Oh, I was sent a script and it was about a woman who wanted to have good sex for the first time. So she hired a sex worker and I loved the idea that it was going to be all set in one room and just between two people. And I also loved the idea that Emma Thompson was going to play that woman. And I just thought it had all this potential for kind of looking at intimacy, connection, shifting expectations about who might be able to connect with each other. And as we started to get into it, I found that there were even more things that we all wanted to explore as well.
Emma, what attracted you to the role of Nancy Stokes?
The writing, always. Written by Katy Brand and describing, you know, the sort of person who in most movies is standing next to the person doing the interesting thing. But suddenly the focus is shifted and this very ordinary, normal, completely recognisable, relatable woman is doing something absolutely extraordinary and crossing every boundary she's ever known. So it was like a great adventure and the inspiring kind of cracking of taboo after taboo was just so thrilling to me.
Taboo after taboo, that's a beautiful way to put it. That's exactly what this is, right? There's a lot of self-discovery involved in your character. What was it like for you going on that journey? Did you learn anything new about yourself?
It's not really about me, you know. When you're doing a job like this, you're giving yourself over to a character. The most important thing was to find out about Nancy.
And what did you find out about Nancy?
She was very brave, actually, but also quite dim, quite stupid sometimes, that she was willing to listen to Leo and learn from him, that she had expectations that were shattered and that somehow she managed to absorb that and rise above that and move on. I liked her very much, actually, even though some of her views, you know, her shaming of her students and all that sort of, oh, your skirts are all up round your teeth and all of that sort of thing I found very grating. She's quite an abrasive character, but very likable. I loved playing her. And she's so funny because she's so frightened, you know.
How about you, Daryl? Talk to me about when you first got this script.
Yeah, I was actually preparing for Peaky Blinders. I was about to shoot it in a month and this script came through and I started reading it and I quickly realised that it was a two-hander and was immediately drawn, well, first immediately daunted by the idea of actually trying to hold a film with just one other person and that other person being Emma was something kind of I couldn't fathom.
But, did you find the idea a little intimidating?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm relatively fresh in my career, so I would consider that kind of task with someone who's been working for years and quite established. And so apart from that, my own doubts, my own insecurities, I was really drawn by the endeavour to have two people in one room for an entire film and to see how they can change one another and what they introduce to each other as people and to be kind of, and for freedom and intimacy to be at the heart of that was something I haven't read before. So I was very excited by the prospect.
Yeah, because it is something that we don't see a lot on screen in these roles. Sophie, it's a really intimate movie, as we say, two people in one room, majority of time spent in this hotel room with these two characters. How difficult was that for you as a director? It must have been challenging as a director.
You know, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is bliss, you know. I can't wait to get in there and just focus on that emotional sort of territory between them and their bodies, the landscape of their faces, all of those things. And then you start to really plan it and you go, oh, wow, okay, this is a really big challenge. And in fact, it's a kind of invisible challenge as well, you know. And just to kind of make something cinematic over that time, but also stay really true to the characters and what their story was, not try and be flashy about it, is kind of...
And was there a temptation to be flashy sometimes?
I think everyone expected it to be like a bit of a kind of cool, dark hotel or a set at night or a bit seductive or something. And I was like, neutral palette. A lot of light, please. Like, the changing light was really important to me. And I think I said to our DP, a director of photography, I want light in every shot. So that's a really big challenge, you know. But the team, the creative team behind it really kind of rose up to that challenge and made, yeah, very, what is seemingly invisible choices, but very strong.
And Emma, there is another character who may not be physically present, but is always kind of lingering in the story, and that's Leo's mother. How crucial is that relationship to Nancy and Leo's connection?
Well, of course, Nancy is a mother, but she's very clear about her ambivalence about that, which is another taboo that's broken, that's hardly ever spoken about. That I love that. I love her saying, you know what, if I'd known, I might not have done it. Then I could have gone across the desert on a bloody horse, you know. It's very interesting that you never see that, because nobody wants mothers to say that. Everyone wants mothers just to be perfect and say, I've loved this, I've loved every minute of it. Otherwise we all get very nervous and slightly sort of unseated, you know. But actually there she is telling the truth to somebody she knows won't judge her really for it. Of course, she spent her whole life talking to people's parents. And even though Leo's character is much older than her students, I mean, a good, you know, 10, 12 years older than her ex-students, her line where she says, I was always very good with the parents, which is very funny, of course, but not because it's in quite an intense scene, is her saying, she's trying to make his life better because she's a fixer, you know, but it's not her responsibility. And Leo's very, very clear about that. And yet, her affirming of him, her saying, you know, she should really know how great you are, actually causes him later on in the film to be able to talk to her more honestly about his relationship with his mum. So, you know, it's that give and take. It's beautiful to watch.
And Daryl, I want to go to the portrayal of sex workers too in this movie. A lot of time is spent discussing why people question someone's motivation for entering the profession and preconceived ideas about it. What was it like to kind of explore those taboos? Because that's another taboo really explored about what would make someone do that? What is the role there and that way that role's explored?
Yeah, I think, you know, heading into the prep for the film, we were aware that, you know, there's many avenues into sex work and not each one is the same. But for us, I think we saw the character that was written in Leo was quite an empowered young man and found a vocation in his work. So for us, we were speaking to a lot of people who had the similar vocation. Yeah, I mean, I hadn't really done much research prior to the film. So for me, it was just about listening to them and hearing their stories and hopefully carrying part of their essence into Leo, really.
And Emma, during the movie, your character really pauses to reflect on the fact that she's an older woman engaging a younger man, that the gender and age gap is part of this story. Now, there's so many tropes, right? Culturally, the cougar is that's one of them. I always find that word really weird.
It's revolting, stupid, idiot word.
It's still used.
Yeah, because people still use stupid words.
They do use stupid words.
Really, a lot of them.
A lot of stupid
often
words.
Often strung together into entirely stupid sentences and often running people's countries. So, you know, let's accept that. That's just part of the world.
How important was it, though, to invert this notion or to, you know, not look through the lens that we often look through?
Yeah, but it's not really about that, is it? Because Nancy's, the reason she's hired somebody young is because the last time she had this feeling, this sexual feeling, was when she was 16 years old. So there's a kind of arrested development there. And so the only thing she can imagine, she's trying to get back there desperately. And so she thinks she can't. Without somebody who's very much younger than her. It's not about his age, it's about how old she was when it all kind of stopped. And so when later, you think at the end of the movie, when she's found herself and he's helped her to sort of discover her capacity for pleasure within herself, you know that it's not about her constantly going out now and trying to find a guy 40 years younger. That's not what she's going to do, because that's not what it's about. So in a sense, for us, the age gap was faintly immaterial.
I mean, there's a shifting kind of power play that goes on between them. The power dynamic shifts constantly to do with various things that we think are the things that make them different from each other. And slowly we kind of strip away those power plays and those differences to kind of reveal them as just two humans who see each other finally.
Mm. And Sophie, do you think of this as kind of a very overtly feminist film?
Yes, I think pretty much if you're an overtly feminist person, then everything you make is overtly feminist. So yes, I mean, in that I think equality is important and that I think I want to see more stories about people that have been excluded from the screen, and that includes women, you know, so yes.
And older women too. You say age isn't so much the point of their dynamic, but actually older women and pleasure is something that I feel is excluded very much from our discourse. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right. But I think pleasure full stop is excluded from our discourse. And I think that what's been interesting is people's responses to this have ranged from 22-year-old women saying, I don't know how to masturbate, to 88-year-old men saying, I don't think that my friends are having good sex. I think they're lying about it. But I had a conversation with my wife and that's changed our sexual relationship. So, you know, whilst it is all of these things, it speaks to so many different people for so many different reasons. So, you know, age, smage, frankly, you know, everybody's locked into their own versions of difficulty, and that you can be 18, you can be, you know, there are 8-year-olds out there saying they don't like their bodies. So we need to stop just focusing on, you know, this is about a middle-aged woman. It's about everyone. And that's what's fantastic about it. And Daryl's character, Leah, I mean, that young man is a new kind of heroic figure, you know, because he's kind and he's compassionate and he can see, but he's also got his... Sorry, I'm talking about you and you're right next to me. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want your listeners to hear this, that this is for everyone. It's very mind-opening. It also gives great pleasure, the movie. It kind of releases something in people. People feel better afterwards.
I mean, it was the main thing we thought about making it, actually, especially in the edit suite. Like, how do we make this pleasurable for an audience all the way through and satisfying too, which is kind of what's in the movie, right? It's all about pleasure and satisfaction in the end, and freedom, as Daryl said.
Freedom. Yeah. Talk to me about freedom, Daryl. I mean, you said at the beginning of this interview that you went in thinking, oh, Emma Thompson, look, she's really experienced and I'm new. And yet Emma's talked about the sort of universal human experience and that age not being, it being a social construct, really, of our experience. Did you feel freed by her approach to your dynamic, that it wasn't an unequal entry
point? Yeah, absolutely. I think the best actors and the best performers do that, like, inherently, because they realize that the work is the most important thing, and therefore you put any differences aside. And I don't think, you know, me and Em could have gotten through this film with a sense that we were on equal playing fields, because we needed each other every single day. There was a day where, like, one of us was off and, like, it was so tough to connect because, like, it was so vital to that story, you know. So every single day we were companions, you know, trying to serve these people, and, you know, our differences were only a bonus, or more curiosities about the differences in our life. And that kind of reflected Leo and Nancy as well. Like, that is what makes them talk, is their differences. It's not what makes them stop talking to each other or limit their conversation. It actually expands their conversation. So I found that me and Emma were quite similar in that regard, which is so refreshing for me, particularly going to this film, having that security, you know.
I'm so fascinated by that, about that needing to be able to connect. I'm not an actor, but I'm kind of thinking about what that would look like. It sounds hard some days. To get yourself in the right headspace to completely immerse.
It's intense.
Yeah, it's intense. That's our job. I mean, you know, you have a very tricky job too. You have to
Yours
always connect it. Well, it's hard, whatever it is. You know, it's hard being a plumber. Yeah. It's hard being a, you know, a miner. And it's just what we do. That's all. And it's wonderful because we've clearly got personalities and characters that are suited to that, actually. Suited to making new connections and then really building on them, you know, really mining deeply into those connections. I mean, not all actors do it. Some actors just go, I'll just say the lines, take the money and run. Like, not all sex workers are good at sex work. You know, but they're not all sex workers are interested in their clients. They just, you know, I'll give them the satisfaction or whatever it is that they want, take the money and go. It depends on who you are.
But we had the good fortune as well of being away from it, like our homes, and we were shooting in Norwich. And so it was a lockdown. We were all together and we had an extra, we had a week of rehearsals, and that's strangely rare these days. And that was an amazing experience to kind of create and form that intimacy. And these two therefore got to spend even more time with each other to kind of make sure that that stuck.
I just had a thought, you know, you're talking about how hard it was. It was a bit like we three were sort of in a lifeboat. Mm. You know, we were on our own and we weren't allowed really to see anybody else because of the COVID regulations. So, you know, you're in this little space on it. So, of course, there are moments where you go, you're all right. No, I'm not actually. Mm. I actually hate you at the moment. Mm. Okay, well, but you're just going to have to deal with it because what you're going to do, get in the ocean and swim off there. Mm. It's not allowed. You'll die. Mm. So there's a question of survival. So we all had to look after each other very carefully. And so,
do you think it helped enhance the performance, that intense sort of situation where you only had each other?
Oh, 1,000%.
Definitely. 100%. Definitely. Yeah.
So you need more COVID lockdowns for your best performances.
I sincerely hope not.
Same here.
Yeah, that would be really bad.
We're not going to call for that.
No, let's not, especially not here where you went through it to the nth degree.
We feel
your pain.
Did. Still recovering. Look,
yeah, I bet.
It's a wonderful film and you've been such wonderful guests. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the great questions.
And that was co-stars Emma Thompson, Daryl McCormack and director Sophie Hyde for the movie Good Luck to You, Leo Grand.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.